sir, you too. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day.
Gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and it came to pass after 8 days, he taketh with him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart to pray. It is written, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. It is written, nevertheless, I say unto you, you shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, speaking with him concerning his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel sermon, The Meeting at the Summit. The gospel, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record the account of a summit meeting that took place on a high mountain. It was a full-dress affair as far as 4 of the participants were concerned, but 3 of them showed up dressed as fishermen. In fact, the 3 may have wondered why they were invited in the first place. The following is an account of that summit meeting. Jesus took Peter, James, and John into a high mountain apart by themselves to pray. It was at that time, while in prayer, the Lord was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his garment became white as the light, bright and dazzling. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, speaking of his decease, that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. It must have been an awesome sight. The three apostles must have remembered the face of Jesus, shining with the glory of God brighter than the midday sun several months later when they saw that same face gloriously besmirched with the shame of spit and the bloody crown of thorns on his brow. Now Jesus may have taken the three apostles with him for this great event, because he said in Matthew 18:16, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." Then many years later, Peter gave his testimony of the transfiguration in 2 Peter 1, when he said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice we ourselves heard, born out of heaven when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Ladies and gentlemen, that was their personal eyewitness testimony of the transfiguration. The appearance of Moses and Elijah is suggestive of the second coming of Christ. The appearance of Moses, who died, reminds us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Elijah, of whom it was said in 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, "Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Elijah reminds us that we who are left alive unto his coming shall together with them be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then, too, we are reminded of a similar occasion in Exodus 33, when Moses said to the Lord, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Moses was permitted to see the departing glory of God when he passed by, but when he stood before the people, they were afraid, because his face shone with the glory of God. Moses put a veil over his face, and the veil hid the glory of God. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God shone through the body of Jesus, and his garments that he wore could not hide the glory. The veil hid the glory of God on the face of Moses, but with Jesus, the garment could not hide the glory of God when he was transfigured. The glory of the gospel is greater than the glory of the law. However, the three apostles had seen a more astounding sight before the transfiguration. Before the transfiguration, they had seen the Lord of glory walking around encased in the body of a human being. As Paul reminds us in the second chapter of Philippians, "He took upon himself the form of a servant, made in likeness of man, found in fashion as a man." And this is an example of how the Christian shall appear in glory when the Lord returns. Jesus said in Matthew 13, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? However, it is good for us to remember, while Jesus lived among us in flesh, at every event where his deity was manifested, there was a sign from heaven to underscore the event. At his birth, angels appeared to the shepherds with the announcement, There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. At his baptism, as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At his great temptation, after fasting 40 days and nights, the tempter came with great temptations. And at the final temptation, an angel came from heaven, strengthening him. And what a great demonstration at his death, at the crucifixion, when the Scripture says, Behold, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks were rent, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised up, and entered the holy city after his resurrection and appeared to many. At his resurrection, there was a great earthquake, and an angel from heaven came and rolled away the stone. And then, even at his ascension, two heavenly visitors came and prophesied his second coming. Now, listen to some of the voices at this summit meeting on that high mountain. First of all, there was the voice of the Apostle Peter. He is the first one to speak. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I will make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. This is an indication of how the Christian will feel when they die. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So at the moment we leave this world, we are surrounded by the glory of the Lord's presence, and we will not want to return. We will say, It is good for us to be here. That's what Peter said, and what we will say. I know not the form of my mansion so fair. I know not the form that I then shall wear. But I know that my Savior will welcome me there, and that will be glory for me. But there may be more on Peter's mind by his mention of those three tabernacles than at first glance. Remember, a week before this, Jesus had told the apostles he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. Peter had rebuked the Lord and said, This shall never be unto thee. Then Jesus rebuked Peter. He said, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus called Peter a devil for telling him to bypass the cross. Now here on the mount, at the summit meeting, Peter hears Moses and Elijah bring up that cross again, and he is not going to make the same mistake again and be rebuked, but he sees a way out of going to Jerusalem to the cross. Lord, let us just stay here, and I will make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now that was a very foolish thing to say. For one thing, spiritual beings like Elijah and Moses and the Lord would not need a tabernacle. And what's more, they were on a high mountain. It would have been too cold for the three apostles to sleep on the ground in the snow, if it was Mount Hermon, as many suppose. And Peter said nothing about tabernacles for the three apostles. That may be why Luke says, Peter did not know what he said. However, Peter was on a spiritual high. Sometimes we feel the same way. But for now, they could not stay on the mountaintop, because at the bottom of the mountain was a boy who had a dumb spirit, who sometimes fell in the fire, sometimes he fell in the water. He was dashed down and ground his teeth and foamed at the mouth. That boy needed help. so they could not stay on the mountain when people are throwing fits in the valley. As Christians, we cannot afford to stay on the mountaintops of our own spiritual satisfaction when we live in a world where people are throwing fits, having spasms, and headed for hell. Think of the national fit and spasm that the USA had when prayer was voted out of the school system. Our beloved land was frothing at the mouth. As a result, people are being shot in the classroom. Some are being bombed. Others are being bushwhacked in church services. Is there any reason to think that these things could not happen in your school or your church in your area? The mission field is not necessarily in a faraway jungle. There is a jungle in suburbia, where some of us live today, right here in America, where you live the church service. As you enter the mission field when you leave, we cannot stay on the mountaintop when they are throwing fits in the valley. Peter was right. It was good to be there, but it would not be good to stay there. This is the message that comes from the Holy Mount, from that time of the mountaintop summit meeting. Now listen to the voices of Moses and Elijah. What did they say? Well, what do people talk about when they come down from outer space? In science fiction, when the flying saucers land, and the little green men with spindle legs and bugged-out eyes approach an earthling, what do they say? They say, "Take me to your leader." Well, Moses and Elijah did not say, "Take me to your leader," because they were fully aware that Jesus was their leader. What did they say to their leader? They talked about the most important thing that ever happened on this planet. They spoke to him of his decease that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. In fact, it appears the only question laid on the table at this summit meeting was the decease of Jesus and how he would accomplish it at Jerusalem. And ladies and gentlemen, there is very little doubt. The chief topic of conversation among the saints in glory, after they've been there for at least 10 million years, the chief topic of conversation will be the decease that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Jerusalem that made their being in heaven possible. Now it's time to hear from God as he speaks from the cloud. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The amazing thing about the message of God is that he did not say anything that he had not said before. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At the baptism of Jesus, he said the same thing. Here he says again, "Hear ye him." Through Moses, when he said, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things, whatsoever he shall speak unto you." Note also it may have sounded to some that Peter was making Moses and Elijah look equal to Jesus when he said, "I will make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But when God said, "Hear ye him," there was no question as to what he meant. Moses and Elijah are not equal with Jesus, and neither is anyone else equal to Jesus. Hear ye him. Hear Jesus only. Jesus also saves only. Now, if it were announced today that the Almighty was going to speak in an audible voice at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, all the network news would tune in to hear what God has to say. At the end of the program, all the scholars and pundits would be poised and ready. They would dissect what God said And the Democrats would tell us that God did not say what we thought he said. And then the Republicans would tell us what we thought he said was something else. Actually, if God did speak from heaven in an audible voice, the first thing that would happen would be every Christ rejecter would run for cover, just as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, when they heard the voice of God after their sin. When Peter, James, and John heard the voice of God on the mountain, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. A great cry of dismay will arise from all the Christ rejecters when they hear the Lord as he descends from heaven. The voice of God coming from the cloud does remind us of the appearance of the cloud on other occasions. At the trial of Jesus before the high priest in Matthew 26, Caiaphas put Jesus under oath and said, "I adjure thee, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, henceforth you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And that reminds us of Revelation 1:7. "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him, even so. Amen." Then in Matthew 24:30, Jesus flatly states it. "They shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Ladies and gentlemen, contrast the cloud, the bright cloud of Matthew 17:5, with the cloud where God spake from on Mount Sinai in Hebrews 12. The book of Hebrews we read, "For ye are not come unto a mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire unto blackness, and trumpets, and words, which they that heard entreated that no more should be spoken unto them, for they could not endure that which was enjoined. For even if a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto a Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." It is no wonder that Paul tells us in Romans 13, "Put on the armor of light." And it is good to remember also what he said in 1 Timothy 6:16, "Jesus Christ, the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of glory, who dwells in light, unapproachable." So Jesus ascended, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The two angels said he would return in the clouds. God still speaks to us today, not through a cloud, but through his word, the Bible. Many think that we need a new message for a new age. When we started on the radio over 40 years ago, there was a small church that helped us on the broadcast. In the process of about 30 years, they increased in size to several hundred members. One day they dropped their support, and a nearby preacher went and asked some of them why they stopped supporting this broadcast ministry. He was told, "Now Ed is a good preacher, and what he preached was good 30 years ago, but today we need something different." That's what they said. Efforts are made today to use marketing techniques to build the church. And it is true, you can market the church like soap. But there's no way to soft soap people into repentance. You cannot soft soap people into conviction. You cannot soft soap people and being obedient to the gospel terms of pardon. When the vision was over, the three apostles lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only. Many today had they been there and heard the gospel story of the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and the terms of pardon, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many, had they heard it that day, would have lifted up their eyes and seen nothing at all. So it is written, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.